Thanks for downloading another inspirational message from Pastor Colin Blois, lead pastor of Hope City Church in Sheffield.
Good morning, church. Some of you don't even know me. You think, who is this stranger? Please take your seats. I'm really very confident God wants to do something this morning. And it's a little bit worrying because I'm a choleric, my personality, and I'm a choleric on jet lag. So it should be interesting. So when I was growing up, my mum, Enid, had many things to say to me. But one of the things that she always used to say to me was, Jenny, stand up straight, pull your shoulders back. Any other mums say that to the kids? Stand up straight, pull your shoulders back, don't slump. Now, there was a reason why she said that, because I'm 5'9", and I was 5'8" when I was 12. So I was, you know the school photos? Yeah, that was me. And so at an early age, I was starting to sort of like bend over a little bit because I was sort of embarrassed about my height. And Mum kept saying to me, stand up straight, pull your shoulders back, have confidence about yourself, look people in the eye, because your posture at times reveals your confidence. And so I was walking, Mum said, stand up straight. Now, the funniest thing is, this is what will happen to you women, okay? Young women, this will happen to you. You think it never will, but this will happen to you. You find yourself repeating what your mother said to your children. It's one of those things, it just happens. You say something and you think, my mother just spoke. And so my son is 6'3". And so I began, as he was slumping, to say the same thing. Pull your shoulders back. Stand up straight. Look people in the eye. Show confidence. Now, I would say many times, we slump before God. Many of us have a posture before God. We are bent over. We are slumped. And God wants us to stand up. And my message to you this morning is about our posture before Father God. And I'm believing in Jesus' name that your whole relationship with God this morning will be revolutionized and changed in Jesus' name. Come on, turn to somebody next to you and say, my walk with God's going to change this morning. Now say it to the other person with some faith and some confidence and some shoulders back. Come on. Okay, that's it. I only said two sentences. Come back to me. And so, do you know, we spend so much time bent over before God, cowering before a God who's not even mad. We can spend years and years of our life bent over, walking before God, not walking with a straight back and confidence because we think God is mad at us. And this morning I want to completely eradicate that thought, that condemnation from your life, that from today you will never be the same, that you will be able to stand up confidently before God. We think we have to hide our faces and bend over before Him when that's not His intention for our lives at all. It's not His intention for our lives. I want to read to you the famous scripture, Romans 8. Verse 31 to 35. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who? Remember this word, who? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who, then, is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Now, I began to look at this scripture again and go back, and I was reading it, and it struck me that the scripture is asking a question. It's saying, who shall separate us from the love of God? I would suggest this morning, often our posture separates from the love of God. Who brings the charge? I would suggest this morning we do. The scripture says, who allows the condemnation? We do. Who separates us? We do. The Bible said that nothing can separate us. So obviously something's going on here. And it's our posture before God at times that separates us from the love of God. And the next part of the chapter says this. In Romans 8:38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in God's creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thought it was a demon. All these years, someone was telling you that there's a demon separating you from the love of God, but my Bible says that not even demons can separate you. So I would suggest this morning it's not demons, it's our posture. It's the way we relate to God. We thought all this time that all these things were separating us. We thought it was this. We thought it was that. We thought we'd disappointed God. We thought we'd failed. We thought we'd not maintained enough momentum. We thought God didn't like us. We thought we'd only read John 3:16 once this week, so God was mad. We thought we had a fight with the wife on the way to church. Standard. Just because you dropped her off halfway down the parkway and let her walk. I know pastors that have done that, no names. Just because we did that, we thought God was disappointed with us. But my Bible says that nothing in all creation, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I want to release you this morning from a condemnation that literally stops you walking into the presence of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. All the while, he just wanted to see your face. And when we walk around like this, the entreaty of the Spirit of God this morning is said, would you just lift your eyes and look at me? Because he is not looking at you in anger this morning. He's looking at you this morning in love. If you don't know Jesus this morning, he is not angry with you. He sent his son Jesus into the world because he wants to have relationship with you. He is not mad at you. As far as you have gone, as far as you have run, as much sin and awful things that you've committed, as have we all, God is not mad. He wants to have a friendship and a relationship with you. Do you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was having a conversation with a lady pastor in the UK. And it was quite a funny conversation because what happens in the ministry is that one day you want to be in the ministry and the next day you don't. And it's like a lifelong struggle. Ooh, that was a very silent laugh. So I was having this conversation with this woman and she said to me, she said, I think I am a bipolar pastor. Now, I don't want to denigrate that condition this morning because it's real when people are there. But it was quite funny when she was saying it to me. She said, when I have a good day in ministry, she says, I want to be a pastor. The next day, I want to quit. And then Wednesday, I want to be a pastor. And Thursday, I want to... I would suggest that's often how we do life. Yeah. One day, we're like, oh, Jesus. The next day, oh, sack this. Do you think God is surprised? Do you think God already knew that that was humanity? You know, it's funny how we live our life. It's strange that we think that God is surprised by our behavior. Do you know, life's a little bit like this, and I can relate it to cooking cakes, okay? Now, let me just say that's not something I often do, because that's what shops are for. Or alternatively, Karen Bianchi, Ngozi Enumba, the people that cook, you know, not or Cheryl Cheel. Like I could go around the room. No, Beth, you and me, we're shops people. Anyway, so life's a little bit like this, right? One day you're on the mountain and, you know, it's just wonderful and you're there with Jesus and, like, all your friends love you and everything's going right. The finances are all in order. The ducks are momentarily in a row. And then on Tuesday it all goes south. And I related a little bit, I like call it like not the cake day, it's more licking the cake mix day. Do you know like when you do bake a cake, like I think I did one in 2012. When you do, I can actually cook a mean carrot cake. But don't be waiting because it may not happen again until 2020. And you know when you cook the cake and you're having such a bad day that you think, do you know what, I'm not even going to wait till I put it in the oven. I'm just going to put my face in the cake mix. Has nobody else ever done that? And then as you've eaten the cake mix out, that's not enough. You put your face in the bowl and lick it out. Does life sometimes feel like that? They're not being honest with me, Colin. Because I know that's true. Does life sometimes feel like you just want to put your face in the cake mix, cover your face with chocolate, and be done with it? Anybody? Now, do you think God is surprised by your behavior? Because when we're having a cake mix licking day, we don't think God wants to see our chocolate-covered face. But my Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. The reason the scripture's in there is because he knew you'd have a day with your face in the cake mix. The mistake we make is to think God's intention towards us has changed because we're struggling in the midst. God hasn't changed towards you. God mentions the whole gamut of life in Romans 8. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. He covers everything, including a sense of famine in your soul. And a nakedness of God and a feeling of unworthiness. He covers everything. Because he knew it would happen. He just wants to see your face. Do you know the scripture goes on with a punchline from heaven? In Romans 8:37, it says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Now, the crucial point here is this. Now, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors in the midst of our stuff. Now, let's unpack this a little bit, church. The world tells you that you are a conqueror. This is for you in Ngozi and Dilly, when Lester pick up the trophy this afternoon when Manchester United go down. And they go down. And when, this is just fun, because I know nothing at all about football. But I do know that Leicester are doing very well. And I did look at the Premiership league table a week ago out of interest. I know, it was a mad moment, mad moment. Where was I? Yes. So, no, Manchester United are going down, Leicester's coming up, Tottenham are going to come a bad second. That's what's going to happen, a bad second. So, the world tells you that you are more than the conqueror when you lift the trophy. Anybody with me this morning? The world tells you that you are a conqueror after you have conquered. So when it's over, the world tells you, you have done very well. You're on the podium. You've got first place. You have conquered in the past tense. But the Bible says you are more than conquerors in the midst. So the Bible says, the world says to us that we are more than conquerors in the past tense. But my Bible says we are more than conquerors in the present tense. So right in the midst of your suffering, right in the midst of your persecution and famine and nakedness of soul and licking the cake bowl day, God says you are more than a conqueror. Do you know, when I saw this, it changed my perspective on everything. I have days and weeks and months when I'm so busy, I think my busyness is separating me from God. When I haven't had time to spend copious amounts of time in the presence of God, which I love more than anything. And when I haven't had time, and when I'm partying till 2 in the morning with people, I'm not getting any sleep. And I can't talk to Jesus because I'm too tired even to clean my teeth. Even then. Do you know, church, honestly, in Sydney, Dave and I had to get up in front of a crowd of 5,000 people and do a segment. I couldn't go to the loo for days. I was so nervous. I had people partying in my flat till 2 in the morning. Colin's traumatized by these issues. Everybody does it, Colin. They either have a great... Oh, no, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it because I'm a classy lady and my mum in heaven right now is going, Jenny, behave like a lady. We had to get up in front of this crowd of 5,000 people. I'd had no sleep, no time with God. But God still wanted to use me. God still wants to see your face, still wants to touch you. He calls us a more than conqueror. It's all about our posture. He sees you differently than you see yourself. God sees you differently this morning. He sees your life through the lens of complete redemption and complete victory. He sees you and all you are in the midst of through the lens of victory already won. I don't know about you, if we can really get a hold of what I'm saying this morning. So it's not just a nice little token visit to church and home for the Sunday roast. But if we really, really get a hold this morning of this truth, that he sees you as a conqueror today, right now, in the midst of your stuff, it'll change your walk with God forever. When you walk out of this place with your shoulders back and you know that God loves you and is for you and wants to use you, even though you failed this week. The lovely thing is that God wants to use humans. He wants to use us. Do you know, I was having a discussion, and this was quite a moment for me, this, right? Because I was having a discussion with my son over the phone, and he's beginning to, like, read his Bible and, like, give me really good revelation. And I said, Ryan, you really need to stop this because I'm going to nick it all. And you won't have anything to say. And he said, that's all right, Mum. It's like, yeah, it's like a give back, isn't it? You know when you give to your kids, he's almost 25, you give to your kids for 25 years and then they start, it's like, it's only fair. And I did actually say to him too, Ryan, just remember when you get all the royalties from those songs, who paid for the piano lessons? And remember that your mum loves diamonds. He said, Mum, the royalties won't be that big. But he shared with me this amazing revelation. And so I'm going to share it with you this morning. And I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 1. And this is when Ezekiel came before God. And let me read it to you. I saw what appeared to be his waist up. He looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And from there down, he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This is a picture of God. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. When I saw it, I fell face down. So Ezekiel reacted to God. Let's just go there. Today you go home and you go into a bedroom and Jesus appears. What would you do? You'd automatically bow down. You'd automatically go, I can't look at you, God. I can't look at you, God. I'm bowed down before you. And then the next part of the verse in Ezekiel chapter 2 says this, and I heard the voice of one speaking to me. He said to me, son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you. stand up on your feet and I will speak to you. And as he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Hearing the voice of God in your life is all about posture. God doesn't want to talk to you this morning cowered over before him. He says, would you just stand up? Would you stand up this morning? Would you pull your shoulders back and realize this morning that there is no separation today between Father God and you? Stand up. I want to speak to you. Turn your face towards me. I want to speak into your life. I want to tell you my dreams for you. I want to tell you the dreams of heaven. I want to download. And the reason at times we don't hear God speaking into our spirits is because our faces are turned downwards. Stand up, says God. Stand up on your feet. Change your posture. Look towards heaven. I want to speak. I want to do mighty things. He wants you today to stand up in the midst of all your stuff. He wants to change your soul, your relationship, your confidence with others. Your new posture before God will open up a whole new realm of hearing his voice. He wants our ears to be open because he wants to speak. He wants to speak. Your landscape today may not change, but God's view on your landscape is absolutely stunning. Church, if we knew God was listening, what would we pray? If we understood this morning that God's face is actually turned towards you, what would we say? If we knew this morning that no prayer is wasted, that he hears every word, what would we pray? If we knew this morning that his face is turned towards us, what would we dream? If we knew this morning that God is completely for us, what would we have faith for? If we knew this morning that God's purposes for this house is absolutely enormous, what would we do? What would we do if we actually believed what God said? That his face is turned towards us. I want the band to come. This is a posture-changing day. There's no separation. God wants to speak. God wants to speak. Wow. The Spirit of God is really here. I just want you to stand to your feet with me. The very first thing I'm going to do before we respond to God today is this. What's going to happen? 10 minutes or so. Is that people are going to have condemnation lifted off their lives this morning. And it's going to change your walk with God forever. There's people that haven't forgiven themselves. And the amazing thing is that God can't even remember what you did. But I believe there are people before I go this morning. Do you know God's going to touch some people today? I just want to sow some faith into you. When I was preaching at Sunshine Coast last weekend, did this altar call, the whole altar call, bodies, 50 people. God came and just touched them. It's going to happen this morning. Some of your lives are going to be literally transformed. You're staring at me. Is that a good thing? Before I do it this morning, there are people in this place. And when I talk about this God, you thought he was angry. But today you realize he just wants to know you. You thought what you'd done and your life had been such a mess that there was no way that Jesus could want to know you. But he's a father. And there's one thing about fathers, they love their kids. And so in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And then there are many of you this morning, those of you that have been away from God, and those that have never, ever asked Jesus into their heart, a miracle is going to happen in a moment. And the King of Heaven is going to enter your life and change everything. So I'm going to pray, and you're going to pray with me. Are you ready, church? And then in a moment after that, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hands with every eye closed to say, Jen, that was me. Are you ready? Pray with me, church. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you actually want to know me. I've tried so many things and failed. And I realize that I need you. So, Jesus, I ask you into my life this morning. I ask you to come and be my Father. I ask you to wash away all my past, because that's what you promised you would do. And I pray that you'd make all things new. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for downloading another inspirational message from Pastor Colin Blows. For more information, visit hopecitychurch.tv.